There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. The phone line, the text line, they're the same. 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, you could leave us a talkback message with the FM Talk 106.5 app that's waiting for you at the App Store. Probably, you know, same place you can get TikTok, right? At the App Store or over there at Google Play for Android users. And I know we got the question from Dan on getting podcast. The fastest way to get our podcast, I wish I could tell you some kind of Machiavellian plan I had. It's just the way it works. The first place our podcast posts, they post to the app and then show up at the podcast platforms. Pretty much if there's a podcast platform you're using out there, you can subscribe to get our podcast there or go to the good old-fashioned website, fmtalk1065.com, and get them there. But if you ever have a question about something you heard, something you want to check out, you can always call me or any of us here at the station, and we can point you in the right direction. All right, so that's going on. And we will get coming back after 1:30. I told you Caroline Dobson in the runoff for AL2 for the Republican nomination. I'm going to ask her the question because it was interesting, like we talked about last hour, the TikTok breakdown, the vote yesterday to ban TikTok, or this, you know, this limitation of TikTok bill that went through. AL1's current sitting Congressman Jerry Carl voted no. The heir apparent to AL1, Barry Moore, voted no. So Jerry Carl voted yes on the ban. Barry Moore voted no. So we'll see where maybe some of the hopefuls for AL2 would vote if they were in Congress yesterday. And hold on, I got one more thing to do before I bring our guest on here. I'm clicking here. Favorite Lanyap columnist, Dale Leash. All right, let me save that over at votenappies.com. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dale Leash. Hey, man.
I know you're Mac. I'm also a big old no on the TikTok ban, but we're not going to talk about that. We got more important things to talk about.
But that's right. I mean, if we got into it later, that's fine. I did an hour. We just did an hour on it. But no, you talk about a story that has you and I. If people would want to go back and search the podcast archives at FM Talk 106.5 to see how many minutes and hours you and I have talked about the Mobile Civic Center over the last what? 8, 10. I mean, we started talking about this way back. This is a perennial, and finally, something is out today, and it's pretty big.
Oh yeah, that's right. They are officially
and go, and now go, now you go, now you talk. Yes.
The mayor's office will announce at 2 p.m. and I and some other folks and reporters in town have the story on it right now. You can go to lanyapmobile.com because that's, I wrote that one. But we have a story that says that they're going to tear down the old Civic Center, 60 years old, and replace it with a brand new state-of-the-art arena, 10,000 seater. They're going to have all the modern rigging apparatuses in place to handle any of the, big ticket groups that come to town. And also, it's going to have an ice floor, and it's going to now be managed by, oh my goodness, Oakview Group and Live Nation. So it's a pretty big announcement.
Yeah, and I'm looking through this. So there's a couple different angles to this to discuss. First of all, the one that has a lot of people talking. So it will be even after spending $300,000 or close to it to keep pieces of the Civic Center from falling on people, they are going to bulldoze this joker. It's a start over, right?
Yeah, and to go back to the brick thing, like I was confused by the decision the city council made on that. However, I understand that the people that do the legal stuff for the city and the people that like check off on their drawings and stuff were very concerned about liability, and they didn't, especially with all of the city council people and some of the administration talking about cheaper ways to do it. They're like, if a brick falls on somebody, and we've literally been talking about cheaper ways to do things, we're going to be in big trouble.
No, I get that.
They ultimately went with the $300,000.
No, I just go back to the fact that you could have. Yeah, it doesn't matter now, but I mean, just to say, I was going to just say, just fence people away from the areas where the stuff would fall. I'm not saying let people just get hurt.
That would have been that would have been what I would have done at my house, by the way.
Right.
Especially if I was going to tear the house down in 6 months after. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. I apologize. What was your question?
No, my question is, they're starting over. It's a full bulldozing of what we see there.
And I hate to disappoint you guys. There will not be an implosion.
I know that. I heard that, and that disappointed me. That disappointed me.
I was so disappointed. And then they talked about how quick they wanted the demolition process to go. And I'm like, you know, there's a quick way to do it that you've just taken off the table. Just blow it up. But they're not going to blow it up, so we won't get any cool photos or wave buses in front or anything like that, unfortunately. But, yeah, we're going to start all over. The genesis of that decision came from the fact that if you renovated it, it would only be good for 15 years, they said. It would have cost extra money to retrofit the rigging so that, you know, you could have big, exciting light shows and bands with light shows come to town. And it was going to be, instead of $300 million, you were looking at like $250 to $270. So given that it was only going to cost a little bit more to completely go brand new, I think they made the, you know, they think that they made the right decision. And I guess we'll let readers and listeners decide.
But we are
getting a new Civic Center.
Yeah, I mean, I will offer this as the opinion person here that if those numbers are accurate, right, and you're going to do something, you're going to do one of the two things. If it's only a difference, it sounds weird to say, but if it's only a difference of $50 million, I'd much rather do something new that has longevity versus something that just kind of, you spend $250 million that only gets you another decade.
Right. And they're looking at, I know the big concerns are Mardi Gras, right? Plenty of space for Mardi Gras in this new arena. They are not currently planning to build the theater back. The theater will be a piece that comes later, if at all. They're focused on the $300 million is just for the arena and kind of the remaking of the whole area. They're going to have a promenade. They're going to redo some of the ways in and out to kind of make it less of a burden on homeowners near the site. It looks, and we'll get renderings at 2 p.m. at the announcement. So. I've seen them. It looks really, really nice, and I hope it comes to fruition.
Okay, so it's going to be one, instead of having like it is now, where you have the arena or whatever you got, or you know, you just have the stage area, then you have the bigger. It's all just going to be one room, right? It's going to be one big square room.
There's going to be a rectangle. The arena is going to be a rectangle, but there's also going to be a grand hall, which is kind of like the expo hall now. That's going to have an area for a stage and bleachers and things like that. And they're also going to have ballrooms specifically for Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to have, so with the arena floor and the ballrooms and the grand hall, I think larger Mardi Gras organizations can fit, I think they said 7,000 people in it at one time, which I believe is more than they're allowed to have the capacity now. At the current Civic Center, it's a little bit more. It's either a lot more, or a little bit more. I was not 100% sure on where they ended up with those numbers, but it's at least a little bit more. So you've got that taken care of, and then as far as construction timelines, demolition on the current building will start in August if everything goes according to plan. Management contracts will go out for a vote by the council as early as this month, but probably April. And then so you got August the demolition. And then by January of 2025, they, or February of 2025, they expect to start on construction. And then, so you're going to miss 2025 Mardi Gras will be somewhere else. 2026 Mardi Gras will be somewhere else. And then January of 2027, they're going to have a grand opening of the new arena in time, they hope, for February 9th Mardi Gras that year.
Well, when you're using, okay, you're using the term 2025 Mardi Gras, that's this coming Mardi Gras.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So anybody expected to have their ball in the same old place, that's not happening.
Correct. Correct. And they had to do that. They wanted to, you know, they wanted to get the process underway. Assuming everything goes according to plan and there's no delays or anything, that is the plan, is to start before this, the next Mardi Gras. And I think the city is meeting with Mardi Gras societies, or have just met with Mardi Gras societies as we're speaking, and they're really open to being like, give us what you need, tell us what you need to, you know, to basically have your balls, and we'll see if we can accommodate you. So they're willing to accommodate, I think, to a certain extent, the Mardi Gras groups and what they want to do. But yeah, I would, if you're planning on having a ball at the Civic Center in next carnival season, it's probably not going to be where you're going to have it.
Right. And, we could do this on a future show, but we've talked about it, and I've talked about it with friends, just not on the radio, about I could almost see how you could place every – there's a couple that would be questionable, but there's other venues, and some of the, mm-hmm. and some of the societies, of course, have expanded dens with space that you could probably have a smaller ball in. And then, you know, you've got I don't know what the booking is for the convention center, but the convention center is a big space. You know, you could have it there.
Yeah. And I you're right. I think some of those larger groups will have to trim, maybe the number of invitees by a little bit.
You hear that, MOT? Y'all hearing that, MOT? All right, go ahead.
For the convention center to work. But for all I know, the city's going to do something completely different, and it won't affect them too much. Anyway, we'll have to wait and see on that. But I also want to talk to you about the possibility of a minor league hockey team coming back, because that is a real possibility now. Apparently all the new modern arenas come with ice, because you got your ice capade, you got your Disney on ice, you got all that sort of stuff. So this arena will have locker rooms and that sort of stuff for a minor league hockey team. And there's a deal in place for a training facility to be built once a minor league hockey team decides to move here. So there's a really big, really good chance that, you know, we could come back to having hockey like we did back when I was a kid with the movie of the Mystics.
All right, Dale, I've got about 1,700 more questions, but can you hold over the quick news break here and we'll come back?
Yeah, sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Dale Leach from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right back to it with Dale Leach from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Dale, I do want to, like, people are, lots of text here about the how it's being paid for and the breakdown. And people are suggesting, of course, that the final price will be more than $300 million. We can watch that. Also, another question. I think when you said arena, which is, I think, the right term for it, people think it's without a roof. We're talking about a closed-in. This is not an open arena. There's not like a football stadium.
No.
Okay.
No. To me, an arena is always roofed, unless you're talking about a rodeo.
Okay. I just people were saying, people were questioning.
I don't want to impugn the intelligence of your listeners.
Of course not. His name's Dale Leach. I can give you his address.
I don't know what else an arena would be, but I say that's fine. That's
okay.
Fine. Yes, a closed arena with a roof.
All right.
Absolutely.
And the breakdown that you talked about paying for. So I know everybody's telling me how much it's actually going to be, but let's say for $300 million in your conversation with the city, break that down again. Who pays what?
I want to point out this is a not to exceed $300 million contract. Not to exceed. Now, obviously, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Isn't that what Mike Tyson said?
That's right.
But it's a not to exceed contract. And I will explain how that breaks down. So there's a naming rights piece where naming rights and sponsorships, they're hoping to bring in $40 million.
Okay.
The management partners will chip in another 10%. And then the city is looking to borrow on the bond market $170 million for this project. And I will point out, this would be the first time Mayor Sandy Simpson's administration has borrowed money for anything. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, they paid off. I mean, he's paid. Since he's been in office, paid off $300 million.
I can get that. Yeah. Yeah, they have knocked the debt service for the city down from $311 million in 2012 to $100 million this year. And in 100 million. It'll be $100 million by 2025. And then by 2030, it'll be completely gone. So the plan for the city is to pay off only the interest on that bond for 4 years while they're still paying off debt, the what they call the legacy debt, the leftover debt from previous administrations. And then once that four-year period ends, 2025 to 2029, once that ends, they're going to pay the principal off at a $35 million a year or a $28 million a year clip. They are currently paying $35 million a year to pay off legacy debt. So that would give them that basically $7 million less in debt service than they're currently paying to pay off the arena. So that is the plan as of right now.
You write here too, $50 million from the unassigned fund balance.
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. That's called the unassigned fund balance.
And then they would borrow another $50 million from themselves.
Being the city of Mobile, would borrow from the city of Mobile. So the tax.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And so that, then they'd have $100 million to put into the project. So that's 270. So you're looking at like 310 right there. So that was quick math, but that's what they're looking at. That's how they're looking to pay for it.
I guess I'm ignorant enough to ask this question. I know I'm ignorant enough. That's the only thing I know. The city's going to borrow $170 million on the bond market, but then borrow $50 million from itself, why wouldn't it just go, is it because of interest rate that you wouldn't just borrow $220 million on the bond market?
I think that it's a better return on investment to do it that way. At least that is my very, very limited understanding of why you would do it that way.
Also, I was going to ask you this too, because I've, you know, since yesterday I've been hearing about this, that the footprint of kind of where we picture, you know, how the Civic Center is now would move a little bit, right? The building would be towards I-10 or?
It's going to wobble to the west a little bit. That's correct. Or to the east. I'm sorry, to the east. Oh, it's going to wobble to the east. You know, there's kind of like that dip in the sidewalk that comes like, it's like a semicircle and it comes in. That's where the Civic Center, that's where the arena is now, or that's where the Civic Center is now. They're going to move it just a little bit closer to the interstate, for a number of reasons, but I think one of the main reasons was to get it further away from the residents on Church Street East.
Okay. And then what about, you mentioned in your article and mentioned a little bit earlier, but around it, because I remember back to the Cordish plan or something, they're going to have this entertainment thing and walk around and do whatever, fountains and restaurants or whatever. What about that?
They're going to have a promenade, which is basically just a fancy word for green space between where the arena will be and where a theater and a mixed-use development could be. So while the city's public money part of this is just the arena and sort of the reworking of all of the infrastructure in that area, including the promenade, on the other side you'll have mixed-use, the possibility for mixed-use, and then later down the line maybe a theater using public money. But the mixed-use development will have your shops, your restaurants, things like that. But that is when a developer is going to have to come in and pay the money to get that built.
Will they be leasing that space? Does the city build it and they lease that space, or
they have not discussed whether it would be a land lease or they'd sell the property to a developer or anything. They have not discussed that. That has not been fleshed out. fully yet. But it could be any number of options. And then also there's you know, there have been plans for a hotel there as part of the master plan. That is still in the plan. Again, that would have to be a developer come in and say, I want to put a hotel. And the city would tell them where they could put it, because there's different heights and elevations and uses for different parts of the Civic Center property now through zoning. So there's a spot for where a hotel could be, but the city has no current plans to build one. But if a developer came in and wanted to build a hotel on the site, they could.
All right.
Plus, there's also plans for single family residences closest to Lawrence Street. Not any apartments, not any multifamily, just single family, three or four single family houses.
All right, you can check out this full story, of course, over at LandNetMobile.com as it just came out. And then 2 o'clock today, more from the administration, Mayor Stimson, and that conversation. Dale, talk about voting's going on right now for the qualifying for the nappies.
Nappies are upon us. It's time to nominate your favorites and everything. And I heard your reference to voting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask your listeners to vote for Brady Petrie, or Kyle Hamrick, or Scott Johnson, or Tommy Hicks in the lineup categories. They work really, really hard, and I just kind of, at this point, manage everything and write what I want. So they're the real superstars here. So you guys got to give them some love. But yeah, votenappies.com is the site to come and go and vote. Or go and nominate your favorite business, person, or whatever you want for whatever categories we are out there. We'll have more about voting for the finals coming up. But right now, nominations coming. LandNetMobile.com is where to subscribe.
All right, good stuff, Dale. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
All right, bye. There he goes, Dale Leash. And there it is, the Civic Center to be raised and a new one to be built. Your thoughts on that? We'll get those on the text line. Plus, Caroline Dobson joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I know tons of texts here, and probably this conversation will go forward for quite a while about the plans being announced today for a start over with the Civic Center, to bulldoze it and start again with it. So we'll watch this. There's something we've been talking about for a decade or more out there. I've been telling you about my friends at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Kelsey in parts. Because those of us that do our own work on our engines, she's like a savant when it comes to parts. But if you're going to step up to the next level and looking for that new boat, if it's time for a new boat, Blue Water Yacht Sales right now has all their 2024 offshore and inshore manufacturers offering special incentives. This goes on now through the end of this month. So it's the end of March when this is over. Blue Water selling finest center console brands like Regulator, Jupiter, Solus, Albemarle, Bulls Bay Boats for inshore fishing. They're on sale right now, and you combine that with the extended warranty deal on Yamaha, and you're ready for years of enjoyment. Go see all the boats, the new ones for sale at Blue Water Yacht Sales on the I-65 Beltline or Orange Beach Marina. They're online at bluewateryachtsales.net. So deals now through the end of March on those brands. And then, of course, if you're doing your own work, Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, the service department, if you're getting them to do the service work or you're buying products to work on those Yamaha or Mercury engines, go by and see my friend Forrest and the gang at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. All right. I mentioned earlier that we would have a conversation with AL2 Republican runoff candidate Caroline Dobson, who's joining us now. I have interrupted some skeet shooting to get her on. Thanks for, although you said you have your husband shooting instead of you.
Well, because I had to leave early to get to visit with you. But yes, we were excited to exercise our Second Amendment rights this afternoon at a skeet shoot for the District Attorney's Foundation. So a good activity and a good cause. You can't beat that.
Although you suffer from a problem that one of my children does too. Politics.
I'm right-handed and I'm left-eye dominant, so I am not always. I'm very inconsistent. Sometimes I have great days, and then other times I am a a detriment to the team. So my husband's pretty much always on point. So I was happy to let him shoot in my stead, but enjoyed getting to be there in the fellowship.
You know, just a side note, the fact, y'all, that you just said what you said, let me know that you actually do shoot. And I'm not going to, you know, not getting in, but nobody who's left in the mix, but there are so many I've driven crazy over the years with political ads in Alabama for Republicans. And I see things with guns. I'm like, that person's never held a gun. They're
right.
Posed up.
Yeah. It's like an AR. One's holding an AR and another's holding a shotgun. And you're like, in what context would you be using both of these at the same time? You know?
Oh, my gosh, so I'm glad to hear you say that.
We do have ARs because feral hogs, I think we've discussed this before on this show, feral hogs are a big problem in District 2. But today, we were with our shotgun appropriately.
It's just great to have that conversation. We go, okay, this person does have, they're not posing. So it's good to have that. All right, you made it through. We have not talked since the primary. You made it into the runoff with such a crowded field. I don't think many of us were surprised there were a runoff. But looking back now at your performance on primary day and where you're going in the runoff, what are y'all talking about? What are you talking about to people out there who are going to make a second decision on the Republican nominee?
Well, you know, I'm so grateful for everyone who came out on March 5th to vote for me, because 4 months ago, almost exactly, I was just a normal private citizen, a small town girl, wife, mom, lawyer, that was working hard to raise her kids with her husband here in District 2. And so I think, you know, the fact that out of 8 candidates, and again, having 0 name ID, I was able to be one of the top 2 is hugely indicative of the fact that people are fed up with career politicians. They're fed up with people that are more concerned about, you know, their egos and their special interest groups than they are about the future of our kids and the future of District 2.
How do you take that energy if you were elected? How do you take that energy to Washington and make a difference?
Well, you know, that I think the important part is remembering who you're accountable for. I'm accountable to God, and I'm accountable to the people of District 2. And that's, at the end of the day, what you've got to stay focused on. And, you know, if I do have the opportunity to go to Washington and represent the folks in South Alabama, my husband and I are committed to raising our daughters here in Alabama. And I think, you know, you see a lot of, the career politician types that just move to Washington and never come back or come back for a week. But, my home is here, and that's why I'm running, because I want my kids to have a future here, and my roots are here. I'm so proud to be from here, and I think it's staying prioritized on actually getting something done and delivering results to the people of District 2.
You know, if you had already been elected and you were in Washington, you would have been part of that vote yesterday. There's a lot of people talking this TikTok ban, and here in the AL1, where we have sitting Congressman Jerry Carl and most likely who will be the congressman for AL1, Barry Moore, splitting the vote. Jerry Carl voting for the ban, Barry Moore voting against the ban. So, Carolyn Dobson, how would you have voted yesterday?
Well, yeah, with respect to HB 686, it's, you know, and my problem with the approach is, you know, of course we have to get rid of TikTok. It is a direct line of communication and a direct avenue of intel of the American people to China. So I am glad that we are focused on that. However, we have got to protect our children, ensure that our children are kept safe from the harms of social media. I'm so grateful now that I did not have to grow up with social media and just having to navigate that as a parent. Is, even though my kids don't have social media yet, it still gives me a lot of anxiety. So I think, you know, this bill needed to do a better job protecting our children and also ensuring that conservative thought is not censored. You know, that is with any of these, I think it's very easy for the left to take advantage of the fact that, you know, the right fairly does not want TikTok, but we need to make sure that any bill that bans TikTok cannot be used to censor conservative thought.
Because that's, I mean, there's a lot of fear out there. Some people, and I've heard from them today in the first hour, that said, all right, well, maybe you can make a case for TikTok, but that means X or Twitter is next, you know, or they're just going to. And I ask this question, is it Patriot Act 2? Is it Patriot Act 2.0, where you vote through the Patriot Act because people were at a time of fear and there's a clear and present danger, and it said to address this, but then it has been widened in scope?
Mm-mm. No, and I mean, just in general, with all of our I mean, I've spoken about it before, but we are suffering from executive overreach. And one of my first priorities, if I have the opportunity to represent District 2, would be to codify the regulatory Bill of Rights. But, you know, we saw this with the IRS where they were targeting. So it's not just, you know, conservative thought on social media. It's conservative association, freedom of association is being violated, but we really see the executive agency under Biden trying to wrap its tentacles around every instance of conservative movement in this country, and it's terrifying. And that's why, you know, we not only have to get Trump back in the White House this fall, but we've got to keep control of the House, and that's why this race is so important. And it's attainable, you know, with a 161 vote difference between the total number of Democrats and the total number of Republicans that turned out last Tuesday. It's a lot closer than a D plus four district we were originally told by the mainstream media to believe.
Yeah, it is interesting. I wonder, I mean, this is the prognostication. And there's a lot of times that you hear people make these predictions, and then when they don't come true, you don't hear from them again. I try to make a note, but that different things on the ballot, you know, instead of just saying, okay, you know, we're looking at right now in a primary setting, you and your opponent in the primary head to head. But then they'll say, well, yeah, but in the general, if it's this person, because there's other things on the ballot that may switch the votes this way. You know what I'm talking about? This projection.
Right.
You know, general, and then like reverse engineering that. Your thoughts on that as you run a campaign?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Trump is polling higher than he ever has with some typically Democrat groups. I mean, certainly he's got the base excited and frankly desperate. We've got to save our country, but he's also polling higher than ever with younger voters, with Black voters, with Hispanic voters. So I think Trump is definitely going to drive folks to the polls. But it's also, you know, in this race too, it's going to take a candidate who's willing to get out there and work and knock on every door. It's going to take a true conservative. And I'm the only candidate in the runoff who has not bashed President Trump. I'm supportive of President Trump in this election, and I will work with President Trump to fix our country. But yeah, you know, if you have Trump driving folks to the poll, and then you have a candidate in CD2 who is openly antagonized Trump, as my opponent has, you know, not clear that even though Trump will carry Alabama, CD2 will stay red.
Yeah, as we talk about the geography, and we can lament, but those days are in the rear view of the new drawing of the districts here for AL1 and AL2. But as we look at it, there is a little bit of us, I'd say, down here in this part of the district, trying to hold on to the idea that somebody that gets us would be elected, right? There's the jingoistic, you know, I call myself a homer feel to this, that people are worried about that, you know, forever we've had somebody from right here, you know, that just down the street. So what do you tell folks down here in this part of the district when they ask you questions about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Monroe County, in rural Monroe County, and for all of my life, we were part of District 1, too. And our future, I grew up knowing that the future of South Alabama was tied to Mobile and looking south to the future. I worked for Joe Bonner when I was in college, and I was so grateful to have leaders like Sonny Callahan, like Joe Bonner, Bradley Byrne, and, you know, people that got South Alabama and understood that we have got to have an advocate in Washington for the people of South Alabama. So since I filed, I've spent at least 2 days a week in Mobile. I'm in Mobile today. I've spent 4 days a week this week in Mobile, because so much of the opportunity for not only District 2, but for the state, and frankly the nation, the second fastest growing port in the nation, is here in Mobile. If you look at, you know, some of the issues that folks are most concerned about, the economy, okay, well, one of the keys to solving the economy is ensuring that the port thrives and grows and its intermodal capabilities are utilized. If you're worried about the state of our military, okay, Austal, Airbus, the defense industries here, Coast Guard, So again, a lot of these, concerns that are prevalent throughout the district, are played out here in Mobile, and the opportunities for addressing a lot of our national crises lie here in Mobile. So I cannot say that I am a Mobilian or that I grew up in Mobile, but I grew up understanding the significance of Mobile. And since I filed to run in this race, I was the first Republican to file in this race. Since I filed, I have dedicated a lot of time here to learn about the issues, because there are so many really niche specific industries here. Federal snapper regulations, for instance, you've got to have someone who is focused on ensuring that that I'm advocating for all the many, many industries and businesses and opportunities here in Mobile.
People want to get more information about your travel schedule when they can see, because I see people going, Preston said, I wish I had the honor to vote for Ms. Dobson. I guess he's at AL1, but he'd like to meet you. How can they keep up with where to meet you?
Yes, if you go to www.dobsonforcongress, that's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, congress.com. I'm also on X, Instagram, and Facebook, Dobson for Congress, and there's more information about, where I'll be and op-eds and campaign updates as well.
Good stuff. I look forward to getting you in studio again soon.
Yes, no, that'd be great. Please vote on April 16th.
Here we go. Caroline Dobson joining us right here on Midday Mobile. We're coming right back. News is next.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:53, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. By the way, like I said, shows on the road. South Baldwin coming to see y'all tomorrow at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. We'll be down there with Grander Marine at their grander opening of their new location. Also, it'd be nice to, you got, 700 trailerable boats down there and 100 and something in the water. A big footprint to cover. I may squirrel away the boat. A big footprint to cover down at the wharf. I may squirrel away my e-bike. I get it. Hopefully this afternoon the rain holds off, because I didn't get to ride this morning. Want to ride this afternoon. Told you it's been a couple years now, coming up on a couple years, of riding my e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. Now, that's a buddy of mine, Clint Jamison. We've known each other since we were much younger men, and he's always been into the biking and exercise world. But when he got into this e-bike thing, he said, man, I think I can get you back into bicycling. And I said, man, I'm 50. And he said, try it. Absolutely is right. The e-bike has gotten me back into riding bicycles and getting exercise. You can ride, like I tell my buddy Mike Ward, you can ride the e-bike completely electric, never pedal it, but it's fun to pedal it and get that exercise. And also, if you're going up a hill or you got that headwind you're into, you can let that e-bike kick in as well. Also, when you buy your e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles like I did, everything's put together. Everything's tuned. Everything's in place. You don't get a box of parts to put together. In addition, when you buy your bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, you can bring it back for free adjustments. They're going to check all the things that would go bad on a bicycle before they do. They check them. I mean, your tires, making sure the chain's properly lubed, your shifting gears are working, all that good stuff. Bring it in and get that tune-up done on it. So no charge when you buy your bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles. Plus the accessories, they got plenty of those. I'm looking at some panniers that would hang off mine to put gear in on my bike. But they've got that. They've got the baskets, getting all the stuff that clips onto your bike. Plus, they have racks for you as well from Swagman, Thule, Kuat. Right there, you can check those out that fit your vehicle for your bike. I just throw mine in the back of a pickup. But, some of you fancies don't have a pickup. So check those out as well. But right now, I know he has a great selection. He and I were talking the other day. U-Free e-bikes. He's got those in stock. Also, Denago. Those are very nice. He's got the Fuji e-bikes. I think that's his most popular e-bike. Those are on sale for under $1,000 right now. So check them out. Adventure Earth Bicycles, the man I got mine from. He's got regular non-e-bikes as well. 400 of those in stock at any time. But my focus has been on these e-bikes. He's got 50 ready to go for you to take a test ride today. Adventure Earth Bicycles. From the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. You can see them online at adventure-earth.com, but best go see them in person. Take that test ride and tell Clint I said hello. All right, from the text line here, let's see. There's some questions here about the district. Did y'all not figure out what district you were in before March 5th? Believe me, I'm not crazy about the redrawn districts. I was telling y'all before it happened how bad it was going to be. But you can sit and complain and sit on your hands or take part in the system as it is. So go. The maps are up. The maps have been up on what districts are what. Is it great that they have cut our district, you know, our area here in half and connected, you know, like I said early on, when they redrew the map, the Dolphin Island to Dothan, AL1, or the Spring Hill to Eufaula, AL2? No, but it's the way it is, and you got to work in it. AL2 is going to be interesting, because instead of this being decided at the runoff here for the Republicans, this is going to be a race to the finish. I think, and what Caroline Dobson said, I think is true. If you look at the numbers and the turnout there in the primary, there's an argument to be made in this district that is supposed to be preferential for Black Alabamians, which it, really what it was is a push for Democrat votes. The numbers aren't as overwhelming as you would think. I think there's definitely a chance a Republican could win AL2. Of course, that brings up a whole other discussion, what the plaintiffs in the last case will say if that happens. But got to cross that bridge when we get to it. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow live from the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show in Orange Beach.